That was a pretty fast, quick stop. I'm Eric Clements here with co-host Justin Courtney. Yes, sir. We are back on the road. We're sharing tips on towing boats, campers, trailers, whatever you want to tow. We'll talk about it. We're also answering those automotive questions, and that number 800-224-9090. You can watch us live on Facebook, listen on iHeart at CC Auto Show. And we are going over to, or back to.
Back to Todd.
Todd, we are back with you. And you mentioned that you've thrown the kitchen sink at this expedition. Is that right?
Sounds like it.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right. Well, Justin's got some ideas. Yeah. He'll share.
Todd, there's going to be something that's going to, I think, in your case, probably not too terribly hard to find, I would hope. You say when you first pull up to a light, it's okay. And then after 15, 20, 30 seconds, it starts to load up or idle funny, and then it shuts off. Is that the deal?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. What's going on? So when you first pull up there, everything's okay. It's smooth.
Yes.
Okay. Well, something's happening. You either got a lean condition and a rich condition can act almost the same when it gets to a certain point. What I would like to see on this car, if I was working on this, I would get a scan tool on it, and I would be looking. Uh-huh. You can open the data stream. Just because you don't have a check engine light on a Ford doesn't really mean anything. Those things they'll lie to you all the time. Get a scan tool on this. Do you have a technician that you trust or whatever that has some up to date equipment? Get plugged up to this thing and start looking at the PIDs. PIDs are points of data that the computer is looking at, sensor data, actuator data, inputs and outputs. And I would be wanting to look at the fuel trim on this car. If it was me, you have short-term and long-term fuel trims, and something at that 30-second when it starts doing that is changing. It's either going lean or it's going rich. Like I said, at a certain point, they'll almost act the same, unless you can smell the exhaust and it's just huffing black smoke and stuff like that, then it's obviously rich. But I've seen in your case, you have a vacuum actuated fuel pressure regulator. I've seen the diaphragm go bad and it's pushing fuel all the way up the vacuum hose. I've seen that on those. There's quite a few different things that could be causing what you're doing, but it's only after it sits there and idles. So something, while you're giving it gas going down the road, it's okay. It's only when the fuel requirements are very low, like at idle. So I would like to see a short-term and long-term fuel trim on this, and possibly it could be, you could have carbon buildup. There's several different things. A fuel induction service may help you.
Yeah, BG fuel induction service can do very well if it's carbon buildup. But from all you've done, I'm kind of taken for granted that's been done. But Todd, I did have one question. All the things that Justin mentioned is exactly the route that I would go to find the problem. But just out of curiosity, did it have the same problem before you put time and chains on there?
No, when I bought the vehicle, it was down. It didn't have it had a bad fuel pump. Mm-hmm. And the mileage that it had on it, when I changed the fuel pump, I just went ahead and changed everything on the timing circuit just because I know how temperamental these engines are.
They are.
So it didn't do this before, but I know if I drove it before, I towed it home and did this.
The reason say that is you could have one cam, yep, one tooth off, and have the exact symptoms, yep, of what you're talking
and
about.
And still not have a check engine light.
Yep. Now, a technician with a lab scope can find, yep, this by seeing if the scope pattern is lined up with,
yeah, watching the square
the
wave, yeah,
that they're getting. They have to be lined up a certain way. So you could have one tooth off on that timing chain also.
It could be something as simple as like a small sensor. It could be something. All these things will cause exactly the things the symptoms you're describing.
Yeah. And Todd, I'll mention this real quick, and this is mainly for others to listen to. A lot of times I might mention that O2 sensor. Somebody's, mm-hmm, working on their, mm-hmm, own car, and it's a normal O2 sensor. Cost them $100, and they like to work on their own car, and it might be bad. Sometimes I might say, "Yeah, go ahead and do that." Or their spark plugs, they might say, "Well, I got 150,000 miles. My plug's never been replaced, and I'm doing this, I might say, go ahead and put a set in there because you're not wasting money.
It's due anyway.
You put them in there. But when you get into certain items that are going to cost you hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars, many times you once you pass that point, you're way ahead to instead of trying to finish the diagnostic, sometimes you're ahead to go ahead and pay somebody to do the diagnostics because you can rent a piece of equipment and a technician both at the same time. Sure. and do that. The
diminishing return at that point.
So you don't, certain things, once you pass that point, you don't want to take, a chance on wasting money. But it sounds like what you did, it was more preventative type stuff because you want to keep the car a long time. But from what you're telling me, I would not doubt that you might not have a tooth off on that timing chain.
Okay.
But if you can get it to a technician that you trust with some decent, you know, some up to date equipment, he should be able to, he or she should be able to tell you.
Okay. Awesome.
Hey, Todd. Do you want to take on a lighter note? Do you want to take a shot at our tech tip quiz?
I have no idea what would cause their fuel mileage to double. Nothing that I know of.
That's kind of amazing. Double. And it could do that same thing. I've seen that done on a Ford truck. Yeah, it could work. Do on a Ford truck.
It would probably, if what I think it is, which I don't, I want to let the listeners do it, but I don't know what it is. If it is what I think it is, it would work on any truck.
Wow,
I could be wrong.
Okay, pretty huge.
So, I'll take a shot.
Go ahead.
The only thing that I know that increases your fuel mileage is putting the mesh tailgate on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a good.
We need to put Todd on stage.
We're going to send it to the judges.
We got it. We can do it. All right, now let's take Todd off stage.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey, Todd. Man, I'm so sorry, but I'm so happy that you gave it a shot. We appreciate that very much. All right.
All right, sir.
Okay. We'll be right back after this. We are back with you, and thank you for waiting. I'm here with automotive expert Justin Courtney. I'm Aaron Clements, and we are on the road ready to answer your automotive questions. We're also talking a little bit about towing toys, such as campers, boats.
Any kind of trailer.
Yeah, just any kind of trailer. Just giving some safety tips on that. You may even have some tips that you want to share with us, so if you do, give us a call also. Number 800-224-9090 is what I was trying to say. Okay. You ready to go to the calls?
We got one?
Yeah, we
sure do.
Let's do it. Let's do it right here.
Let's see what he's got to say.
Let's go to Dennis. Hey, Dennis.
Morning, Dennis.
Morning, fellas. Just a quick word. Congratulations on moving into the Columbia market. Here you got a store on Broad River.
Yeah,
yes,
we
sir.
Love it there. That's a beautiful area. And matter of fact, our producer in there now, he was at Columbia just yesterday, I believe. Well, he spent a good bit of the week there.
Second half of the week.
Just setting up computer stuff and getting everything set in. And he mentioned that in Columbia, there were some people that walked in, said that they enjoy listening to the show on Sundays. So that was very nice also.
Well, I've got a 01 E350. Mm-hmm. We recently changed the rear axle in it. The old one was making all kind of noise and et cetera. Mm-hmm. What I found with the new axle, though, is that in a turn, it actually acts like a limited slip, which I know it's not. This is a one-legger. But it kind of acts like it's braking as it goes through a turn. Mm-hmm. But it's only, again, when you accelerate, you know, if you're just rolling through a turn, you don't feel it or hear it. But if you accelerate, it kind of has that brake like a limited slip rear axle would have.
And you're sure it doesn't have a locking differ in it? Or
I'm not seeing that it did. We pulled the pan off, you know, clean it out and put fresh fluid in it. Mm-hmm. I did not see that it had a limited slip. It was a one leg.
Well, if it,
you know,
now some of those limited slips, they have a clutch pack that's way back in the side of the carrier. You can't see it. It just looks, now I don't know about this particular, this probably has a Spicer. This might have a big Spicer 70.
It's a Dana 60, okay. As far as I can tell.
Okay. Yeah. It very likely may have a limited slip, but you can't, you have to take it apart to see it. Mm-hmm. Back when you take the spider gears and everything out and pull everything apart, pull the side gears out, there's clutch packs, but they're buried in the sides and you can't see them. Now, when you filled it up, some of these, especially those older model, I don't know what year this thing is.
Well, I pulled it from an 89.
Okay. Yeah.
That's 98.
I used to buy the additive from Ford. Mm-hmm. There's a product that if you didn't put if you just put regular gear oil in there, there's a friction modifier that you have to add to that gear oil if this thing has a...
So you don't have that feeling, okay.
And what that'll do is help it go around corners because it'll bind up like exactly like you're doing. Almost feel like it's in four-wheel drive if it was four-wheel drive.
It has that feeling to it, yes.
When you get... there may be... I don't know. There may... I always bought it from Ford, the dealer. But there's you call them up and tell them you want the friction modifier that goes in the rear end. And it goes in there in conjunction with the gear oil. And it might take a couple of hundred miles for that to take effect. Now, that's only going to work if those clutch packs are in good shape. If there's clutches and steels and they're just like almost like a little motorcycle transmission or something. But if those things are wore out, it's going to do it either way. So... Somebody, you know.
Well, now I got a good feeling when I drained the oil from it because we found very, very little shavings, if you will.
I would put that additive in there first.
There was not any sludge in the bottom, so I'm kind of feeling good about that.
That stuff's only $6 or $8 or something.
And Dennis, I would consider doing one other thing. Now, I don't think this is your trouble because you would feel the same thing if you were going straight to the left or the right. It wouldn't matter, but you would feel it more if you were accelerating. But a lot of times also the rear universal joint, there's a lot of cases where they'll look good, they won't have any free play, but they'll have a lock. You can drop the drive shaft down, and you can try to move it back and forth, and it won't be smooth anymore to have little sticky points along the way. So with your old one going bad, sometimes that's the cause of a rear end having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So with your old one going bad like that, just double check and make sure it's good so that your new one will last a good long time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I appreciate y'all's help.
Yes, sir.
Again, congrats on the Columbia move.
Well, thank you, Dennis. We appreciate that very much.
All right, then. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention, if anyone ever removes a drive shaft from a vehicle, stick by my rules that I always give. Block those wheels because I'm telling you, when that drive shaft comes out, I don't care if the vehicle's in park.
It don't matter at that point.
It won't matter. It's going to roll. So,
you may as well take the transmission out.
And anytime I hear of people having terrible accidents, I always like to help. By mentioning different safety items that may help, because I love people being able to work on their own vehicle.
Sure.
And I realize a lot of people do that just like as if they were gardening, just like if
it's
they were doing
another
thing. It's
a hobby for folks,
But you
especially
want to
be that
safe.
Guy we talked to earlier with the old 71 Buick.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that's a hobby. That. Yeah,
me too. I bet that is a beautiful vehicle. Let's mention a couple of things about towing.
Towing.
And one of the things is if you're towing a boat – make sure that the engine is in the tilted position.
Yeah. Don't drag the prop on the
No, because that can be terrible for a prop, and props can be expensive.
Destroy the whole engine.
But also, if you've got that Joker drop down, you're just one speed bump away from ruining your whole day and probably your whole season on doing that. All right, you give us one.
Well, earlier we talked about tires. Pressures, dry rot, condition, how old they are. I want to talk about trailer tires in general. Mm-hmm. That there's a big difference between a passenger car tire and a trailer tire. A passenger car tire is designed for comfort, and the sidewalls are flexy, and they, you know, to go around, they steer, you know, mm-hmm. they're designed for that. Trailer tires are not designed, they're designed to do nothing except follow you and carry a load. And they are very stiff. So when you, just because you can put a car tire or, passenger tire, mm-hmm. just because you can put a passenger tire on your trailer doesn't mean you should. Yeah. There's a big difference in that load and how well that trailer is going to tow behind you mm-hmm. by having the right tires on it.
Yeah, the right load rating.
The right load rating. Trailer tires have a very stiff sidewall because they're not designed for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
They're not designed to have people set, you know, riding on top of them. They're to pull your boat mm-hmm. or your camper. I put new trailer tires on my boat, a couple years ago, and I made sure I ordered tires just for that would match the load. It's a tandem trailer, match the load and the right. And you always make sure that they have the right pressure in them because mm-hmm. they look like they're inflated. Every time I check them, they're still low.
And Justin, right before we go to the calls, uh-huh. if you would slip one in there, on how often do you recommend either lubing the wheel bearings or
the buddy
replacing
bearings.
The wheel bearings?
Every season. Mm-hmm. At least if you on the boats where you have buddy bearings with a grease fitting or bearing buddy or whatever they're called. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a
little grease fitting right there.
It holds pressure in them. Axle. So it's got positive pressure in there to keep water out.
Mm-hmm.
A little spring.
Oh, I never thought about that.
It's got a little spring in it.
Very nice.
It's not a lot. It just keeps, if there's a tiny bit of pressure in there of grease, it's going to keep the water out.
Mm-hmm.
I check them. I pump mine every year. Now, obviously, if you hear something roaring or.
Then do it.
But every year, your wheel bearings should be checked.
Okay.
At least check the tightness of them, check the grease in them, or at least pump them if you have a boat.
Okay. You ready to go to the calls?
Yes, sir. All right.
What we will do, let me see. Is this Nate?
That's Nate.
Nate, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. From what I understand, you may have an answer to our tech tip quiz, and we would love to do that. So what we plan to do, we're going to put you on stage.
Stay
on stage through the break, and then as soon as we come back from this break, you're going to be able to remove your sunglasses and stand there and give us the answer to our tech tip quiz. So be still.
Stand real still.
Don't move. Nate, quit. Don't move. And we will be right back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the CNC Auto Show, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Watch our live stream Saturday mornings from 8:05 to 10 Eastern Time on YouTube or Facebook and drop us a comment. We'll read it on air. You can also catch today's show and past shows on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and any other podcast service you prefer. Help spread the word by telling friends and family, or leave us a 5-star review online.
And we are back with you with the CNC Auto Show. We got Nate on the line. Nate may have the answer.
And he's been standing up there for a couple minutes.
Yeah, he has. He's been standing patiently up on stage. Now, of course, when he's looking out across the stage, all he sees is the lights and all. It's really hard for him to see all of us looking at him.
The judges.
Yeah, but let's go back to Nate. And, Nate, I'm going to lay this tech tip quiz back on the table one more time, and we're going to be waiting for the answer from you. Hey, we're dependent on you, man.
Don't mind if I sit down?
No.
I'm laser tired.
No, please stand up because everybody's dependent on you because we're getting late in the show and we really need
you're
someone
our last
to answer.
Hope, Nate.
Yeah, you are, man. We need you. We're pulling for you. Okay, Billy and a guy that lives in his neighborhood put something on the tailgate of his 2018 Chevrolet Silverado that cut his fuel consumption in half. What did he do? And if you know the answer, we are ready for you, Nate. So, what's the answer?
Well, you're talking a lot about trailering today.
Uh-huh, we are.
So I think it has something to do with trailering. Because Billy's trailering his work truck all the time.
but it's wobbling all over the place because he's got the load displaced. So I think it's a stabilizer bar attachment so that he can keep his trailer stable and it's not pulling on his truck as much.
Oh, Nate, I bet you have a I bet you, while you're standing there, you got a slide rule with you, don't you?
Is somebody building a house wherever you're at?
Nate, let me put it in front of the judges and see what they say, because it's all up to them. They get to make the decision. Let me see.
Oh, no.
Nate. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Nate, we were really dependent on you, man. Nate, no.
Don't do it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Hey, Nate, we really appreciate you calling in.
Y'all have a good day.
Oh, Thank you too. Thank you. Hated to do that to Nate. Seems so nice. Hey, let's cover a few things real quick. We're going to go through these. We're going to breeze through these and give a lot of quick ideas right before we go to the next caller. Clearance. Know the clearance of what you're towing.
Yeah, boy.
We got a place right here in the Augusta area. It's where a train track goes over a road, and about every year or so, somebody creams that thing and tears the trailer up, tears the bridge.
Destroys everything. Yep.
And I imagine that is a really weird experience just to be riding along at 30, 40 miles an hour and then all of a sudden hear the top of your vehicle or whatever you're towing.
Peel the top of it off.
Ripped out from under you, and it'll probably give you a pretty good jar.
Yeah, pay attention to know where you're going.
Yeah.
Going around corners, make sure, you know.
Drive through items, like if you're doing a drive-through ordering fast food, and look at what the clearance is and already know what your clearance is.
I have watched videos on there's a YouTube or something channel called, the channel's called 11 Foot 6, I think. Uh-huh. And there is vehicles being destroyed, people driving fifth wheel campers through drive-throughs, destroying the not just destroying the camper, destroying the restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes what you tow in won't fit.
No, park it and walk in. Yeah.
It may have fit with your truck, but it may not fit with the RV or camper or whatever's on the back of it. So so know what your clearance is and stick with that. We're going to do one more.
How about some weight? Where to put the weight on your trailer?
Oh, that's a good one. Right. Go ahead.
Well, you have to have some tongue weight. And in your towing guidelines, in your owner's manual or wherever you get those guidelines from, it'll have maximum trailer weight and maximum tongue weight, but you have to have some tongue weight. If you don't have any, like say you have negative tongue weight, say your trailer's too far back on the back behind the axle and it's heavier than the front of the trailer, you are going to have your hands full.
Yeah. Swaying.
Snaking. And yep. And you have to have some tongue weight to stabilize the front of the trailer. So it's like caster. It's like casters on a shopping cart. If the weight's behind it, that trailer's doing, you know, in a serpentine fashion.
Yeah.
You got to have some weight in the front of it.
So know how to load your trailer
and
also.
And side to side, too. You don't want a ton of sand in the upper. I got a picture of it right here for those of you viewers who are watching us. If you have all that weight over on that corner like that, up in the front corner of your trailer, you're going to have your hands full.
Yeah.
So make sure it's level, even. You want it to the front. What is it, 60% front, I think, is the bias?
I think 60%
front, give or take, you know, depending on the vehicle you're towing with.
I know it was something 60-40. You can be pretty
safe if you keep 60% to the front.
Because
you don't want it on the back. You will have your...
And that all has to do with safety also. I'll mention this one thing that ties hand-in-hand with what you're saying. Is also be prepared that sometimes you may get gusts of wind come up.
Like a sail,
wind from a semi might come by. And if it's already unstable, that puff of wind might be the one thing that pushes you over the edge where it just starts, like you mentioned,
I'm sure snaking. Some of our listeners have seen on the interstate somebody in, you know, watch that trailer. You see, you're behind a trailer and it's snaking. It's swerving side to side fast. Like
And once it gets started, then sometimes it's hard to quit.
It doesn't quit.
Until
you're on your roof. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's go over to
Ted.
Yeah. Let's go to Ted. Hey,
good morning, Ted.
How you doing?
Hey, it's Ed.
Oh, okay.
Ed.
Ed.
Yeah,
Did I read it wrong?
No, it says Ted.
Yeah, they wrote down Ted. Hey, Ted, have you ever...
You're changing your name.
Have you ever considered having your name changed?
All you need is a T.
Yeah. It won't take but a minute. We can do it. We got the paperwork. Okay, what can we help with?
Well, I'd like to try the tech tip.
Oh, go for it. We got to put you on stage.
That'll be just fine.
We will read the question, and that is, Billy and a guy that lives in his neighborhood put something on the tailgate of his 2018 Chevrolet Silverado that cut his fuel consumption in half. And I mean cut it in half, and this could very easily be done. It can be done. This is not just a pie-in-the-sky deal. So you're on stage, and I don't know whether to call you Ted or Ed, but what is the answer to today's Tech Tip Quiz? We're ready.
Well, what he put on his tailgate was he put an HOV sticker on it because he and his neighbor work at the same location. Mm-hmm. So they decided to start carpooling because of the high gas prices.
Oh, my goodness. Let me think about this just for a minute. Hold on. What the judges say? Come to us. Come to us. Tell
put
us.
Put it
quick.
To the judges.
What did they tell us? Yeah. Oh, oh, Ted. You're so close that you get it.
That's as close as you can be.
Exactly. The guy that lived in his neighborhood worked at the same plant that he worked at, and they worked the same hours. They put a clipboard and paper on the bed of his tailgate, on his tailgate of his 2018 Chevrolet Silverado, and put together a carpool or truck pool schedule that cut both of their fuel bills in half. So this tip could be worth somebody checking on, because I'm sure there's a lot of people in the same neighborhoods that work near the same place that could carpool together, and instead of paying $4 and $5 a gallon for gas, they can cut it in half.
Yep, you're effectively like going back to last week's program. Yeah. If you can do that, you're effectively cutting your gas price. You're paying $2.50 a gallon.
Yes.
I mean, you know, exactly. in the when you get down to brass tacks.
Now, I don't like it. The American way is to get in your own car and drive somewhere. But with the price of gas, we all going to have to make some compromises somewhere.
And so, walk.
Yeah. So the I tell you, Nate, I mean, Ted or Ed, whichever one. And we're going to have to figure out what to put on your trophy and all your official prize winning stuff. But we'll figure it out. If you would give me a call, my name's Aaron, and of course, CNC Automotive. Give me a call so I can get all your information, because we're about out of time. That way I can make sure that you get your prize package. And
should I just call you at the shop?
Yeah, just give me a call at the shop.
Okay.
All right.
You got it.
Hey, we're out of gas.
Thanks.
We'll be back next week with more of the CNC Auto Show.
Thank y'all so much.
And we do welcome you to the CNC Auto Show. And I'm Eric Clements here with co-host Justin Courtney. And we are here to give you information on ways to make your car safe, dependable, and to make it last a long time, because that's what we need to happen. Justin, are we ready to crank this bad boy up?
We are, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me back. It's good to be here with you and Mason this morning. Had such a good time last week and wanted to come do it again.
Man, we are glad you're back here. You brought a lot of great knowledge, a lot of great fun, makes it enjoyable. We appreciate you being here. And again, we're ready to answer those questions.
Absolutely.
But there's ways to do that safely.
Yeah, for sure. Especially after your trailer's been sitting, kind of been out of your sight, out of your mind for a while, and you want to go out and go boating or take your camper out. There's some things that you should do before you just take off with it.
Absolutely. And not only things you should do to the trailer, but you might be a little rusty on the on pulling it. And so we may have some tips, or actually to be more reminders that a lot of people will be able to use of things that you should do as far as getting ready for towing and while you're towing.
And there are some folks listening that may have just recently bought a boat or a camper and may not know. When the salesman doesn't go over, he wants you to buy it. He doesn't go over a whole lot of stuff that maybe we can help you with.
Maybe a little fresh to that. Or the other thing that can happen is someone may have a tip that they want to share with others too.
Which for sure.
We love that. That's what it's all about. And the way to do that, to ask your question, to share a tip, to just join the show, that number, 800-224-9090, or you can call 706-863-500, and that's any Saturday morning between 8:05 and 10 Eastern time, and you can listen right here on this station. You can listen live or past shows on iHeartRadio. Now, that's CC Auto Show. And you can also watch the show live on Facebook and send a question to Aaron at ccautoshow.com. So buckle up. Let's ride. Justin.
Yes, sir.
You think we should go ahead and start out with some phone calls?
We can. We got, looks like we got a caller on the line there.
It looks like George, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with?
Hello?
Yes, sir, George. All eyes are on you. Yeah. What can we help you with?
I have a late model GMC Sierra 1500, and I had an issue with the front shocks, and I made arrangements to get them replaced, and I thought I was buying the electric shock connection. And okay. So I bought them and took them to a shop, and I was out of, I was out of town, and they would put them on. They called me, and they didn't have the electric shock. I spent a lot of money for two Sprite shocks, and so I had to make a decision, and I told them to go ahead and put them on. Uh-huh. And so now, but they didn't have the electric hookup, and now when I can tell it's riding much better, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. But I get this service suspension signal every time I start my truck up. And I'm wondering if I'm doing something bad, if I'm tearing something up, or if I, you know, should take these off and throw them away and go get the electric hookups.
George, you said you have a GMC Sierra?
Yes, sir.
It must be a fairly high-level one, like an SLT or a Denali.
It is a Denali.
Yeah, those have Magna Ride suspension.
Yes.
And they're really, we actually see those shocks, those Magna Ride shocks fail quite a bit. They'll like seize and it'll ride really strange, like a pogo stick. And
that's exactly, you got the description. You hit the nail on the head.
Actually, I've replaced a bunch of them. Did you replace both of them or just one?
I replaced both front.
Oh, yeah. You said, yeah. Then they didn't have the magnetic, they didn't have the electrical connection on it. Now,
I thought they did when I ordered them. I paid nearly $500 a piece for them, and I thought they did have that. That's what I was trying to order. And when I got them in, they were in a box. I didn't open them. I didn't look. I take them to the shop and make arrangements for them to install them. And then I get the phone call, and I'm 100 miles away, and I had to make the decision to do something. I said, well, go ahead and put them on and we'll figure out now where we need to go.
The Magna Ride shock, the connection is on the very top.
Yes.
Right where it comes through, there's a nut that goes down and the connection is right there. And if you paid $500 for these things, I think that's about what the Magna Ride ones cost.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Justin. Shock absorber.
Yeah, a regular shock would be $60-$70, I would think, or you know, maybe $100 or whatever. But I bought several of those, and they're about, like I said, $500.
I googled Magna Ride shock, and this came up, a Monroe Magna Ride shock. And they called me and told me there was not, the electric wire weren't there, the electric connection, and so they're put on and they're. Well, maybe they're not put on right. Yeah.
Well, it's possible.
I can tell a big difference.
And I do remember, I want to say I had a customer one time ask me to put some Monroe ones on there. and I didn't do it because I hadn't had any experience with the Monroes. I used the OE ones. I ordered them from General Motors, and they were like about the same price. They weren't.
Well, they're much higher now. That's the reason I'm worried. They're $750.
Ooh, yeah, that is considerably amount more. But I like I said, I don't have the experience with the Monroe ones, but I certainly have experience replacing the GM ones. And if it was me on a nice truck like that, you know, those we have a Denali truck, and they're not cheap. And you know, your that shock system is tied into your vehicle stability system. It's there's computers watching all this. It's part of your traction. I don't know if it's part of the track. I would imagine it's all tied together. It's all on the network. If it was me on a nice truck like that, George, I'd try to get the right stuff on it. It's engineered that way for a reason. You got the nice, yeah. Or have maybe get a second opinion and have somebody look at them and see maybe if there's some kind of an adapter that you have to get from Monroe that doesn't come with it to tie into the General Motors system or.
And George, I agree. I don't think it's going to cause the truck to break down. I don't think you'll probably notice some slight differences in the ride.
But the dash.
I agree with Justin that system has computer inputs not only for the suspension.
That's the reason I'm making this phone call. Keep getting this active, you know, service suspension, and I hit the dismiss, and it goes away, and it stays gone until I start the truck up again.
But that's a reactive.
But I can tell the shocks are doing something. It's nothing like it was.
Right. That's a reactive system. Yeah. It's an active suspension system. It listens. I say listens. The computers are watching throttle inputs, steering angle inputs, braking. And if the system notices that you're braking hard and turning the steering wheel to the right, say, the computer instantaneously is going to add shock value to the left wheel in compression and rebound to make it not body roll as much and all that. So, I mean,
a lot of stuff involved there.
I don't know if it would
there.
Be a huge safety concern, but it is actually engineered into that vehicle. And I would, if it was me, I'd probably try to get it sorted.
All right,
and maybe get a second opinion and have somebody else maybe take a look at the. We have. Well, what am I doing wrong here? Take it to a mechanic you trust and let him take a look at it or her.
Okay.
All right.
I thank you. I believe I'm going to do exactly what you said, call Monroe, and I'm not going to just keep on driving it like in doing this. I'm going to do something. I'm not sure exactly what. I got one more, and I thank you for your time on that one. I got one more question I want to mention, and then I'm going to hang up and let you make a comment on it.
Hey, George. Can I get you to hold just 1 second?
We got to pull over.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, we'll pull over for a second, and then we'll be right back. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the CNC Auto Show right after these messages.